Jesus, I want to know your ways. Jesus, I want to know your thoughts. Jesus, I want to be more like you and learn all the things you would have me to do. Jesus, I want to know your ways. Jesus, I want to know your thoughts. Jesus, I want to be more like you and learn all the things you would have me to do.
Well, we're back, it looks like. Are you back, Steve?
I'm back. I was listening and trying to get moved over again, so sorry about that.
Oh, boy, praise the Lord. What a day, huh? What a day. It's so fun to have all these professionals working radio on the Eagle Radio Network, myself included. So, anyway, as we were saying when nobody was hearing us, last week we were not on the air, and we were doing 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we were going to do 2 Timothy chapter 3 this week. But what I've been thinking, even though we're 10 minutes into the program, if we try real hard, we might be able to do both.
Wow.
Just depends on how much you want to talk, Steve.
Well, I can be quiet and listen.
Well, I don't want you to be quiet and listen.
Well, then I don't know how much I'll talk. Wind me up and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's wind it up, folks. What do you think? All right, let me get stuff up here so I can see what I'm doing. Let's go to 1 Timothy.
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4, verse 1.
Want me to begin reading?
Read. Just read right on down through verse 5.
I will do so. Praise God. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Amen. All right. Amen. Now, what I'm seeing here, and somebody let me know if my mic is too loud. If it is, I can definitely turn it down some. We're seeing a pattern here, which I'm going to get into for a minute, in a minute. But I want to start out with, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. This is a no mess around expression here. This is to be taken seriously. It's not Paul speaking. It's not Paul's opinion. It is the Holy Spirit speaking expressly through Paul to the people. This is God speaking.
Amen. One of the things to keep in mind there, folks, is Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so this letter is talking about in the latter times of the age of the Gentiles, which is the age we presently are in.
And we're definitely at the latter age.
That's right.
The latter time. Now he says some shall depart from the faith. Now, you know, Steve, I heard it for years where people would talk about in churches, people would fall away from Christianity, fall away from the church, and stop coming to church. That's not what it's talking about.
If it were, we wouldn't have to be warned about it, because that's they'd right. be outside the church. What difference would it make?
That's right. It wouldn't be anything to worry about. Hell, it would, but not really. But the bottom line is here, it says, they shall depart from the faith.
Right.
Now, one of the first things I want to impress upon people, and it needs to be understood, there is only one faith. There's not a Baptist faith. There's not a Methodist faith. There's not a Catholic faith, or a Presbyterian, or a Unitarian, or any other Arian faith. There is only one faith, and that is the faith that comes through believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Period.
Amen.
That one faith on Jesus, that he, being God, left his first estate, became a man, and did what Adam and the rest of us could not do. It was totally obedient, without sin, laid down his life, took upon himself all of the sins of the world, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. That includes all of your sins, past, present, and future. Was dead and buried, spent 3 days in the grave, and on the third day, 2 days or whatever, 3 days, on the third day he was resurrected from the dead. He raised himself up, and now he, as God, is God, sitting in the heavens.
Amen.
The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. We now know the name of God. All through the Old Testament, nobody knew the name of God. Now, you got some of these yahoos and idiots running around out there today that think they found some secret word in the Old Testament that is God's name.
Yahweh,
or Yahshua, or
Yehovah.
All these different things. The bottom of the line is all these names are titles. They're not proper names. The only proper name for God is Jesus. Period. Not to be argued with or about. Anybody wants to argue about it, let them argue, but they can argue to themselves. Like the lady said, speak to the hand, the ears aren't listening.
Well, you know what, Davey, as you say this, we know over in Mark 16 where the Lord comes back to the 11 who have not believed the testimony of Mary, and they haven't believed the testimony of the two guys who saw Christ resurrected, and he comes back, and after upbraiding them for their hardness of heart and unbelief.
And by the way, upbraiding doesn't mean he was telling them what nice guys they are.
Right. He was giving them the what for, reading them the riot act, and then he immediately turned from that into, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And he then goes on, and this is in Mark 16, by the way, I'm reading from, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, that is in the name of Jesus, and that is you dwell in him. Okay, and it says, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen. And you know, it's like you said, it's in him, it's in his name, but there's one more, and that's in his stead.
Amen.
You go out there in his place, and you preach the gospel. You don't preach the law, you don't preach traditions, you don't preach your denomination, and you don't preach Aunt Mary's methodological book. What you do is you preach the gospel. They that believe that gospel and are baptized, that is, baptized with the blood, the water, and the Spirit, shall be saved. They that disbelieve, it doesn't matter if you dunk them in the water for an hour. If they don't believe the gospel, they shall be damned. It's as simple as that.
And the gospel is the power of God.
That's right.
And that's why it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." And what they're believing there is the gospel, and the and they have the baptism, meaning they're equipped. They're fully equipped to go forward in his stead, as Richard said, to do the same works that he did. And I say this because, you know, when we're talking about it back here in 1 Timothy, where it says, you know, some shall depart from the faith. Well, once you lay up this standard of Mark 16 and say, look, if you believe the gospel and you are baptized in the blood, the water, and the spirit, then these signs are going to follow you. Now you can see that almost the entire Christian world has departed from the faith.
That's right. And instead of humbling themselves, like God says in Chronicles, and repenting, instead of humbling themselves and admitting, God, I am not where you want me, they make excuses for themselves. They seek to justify themselves.
And this is where what they begin doing is they begin giving heed to seducing spirits, and that's because they don't have God's Holy Spirit. They begin, but they still want to have a spiritual experience. They end up giving heed to seducing spirits that come in because they please their flesh, and they agree with the doctrines of devils, which justify them, which are the new doctrines they introduce. For example, that the church is the bride of Christ, they introduce as a doctrine. They introduce as a doctrine that your body, your physical body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And they introduce these doctrines.
And you know, if you stop and think about it, Steve, that's blasphemy.
Sure.
To say that the Holy Ghost, God's Holy Spirit, is going to inhabit a cursed thing is blasphemy.
Right. If Christ had to be on the cross alone, why do you think that you and your cursed body, God's going to join himself to it?
Right. And the fact of the matter is, one easy way to prove that your body is cursed is it'll die.
Sure.
If your body wasn't cursed, if, let's take it from this angle, if the Jesus died on the cross and took the curse off of your body, all right, then you'd never die.
Amen.
If your natural body were full of the Holy Ghost, it could not die. Could not. Because if it did, it would be, you'd be saying the Holy Ghost isn't powerful enough to keep you alive.
Not only that, I mean, the scripture says, for the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
So, and that's Romans 6:23 for folks who want to know. It's for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Nowhere does he say that he died for your body.
That's right. He doesn't even ask you to serve him with your body.
That's right.
He says to make a sacrifice of your body.
Right.
Which is to give up what your body wants to do and seeking to please it continuously, and instead choose to please him.
Correct.
So, it's not a thing, guys, that's going to be pleasing to your flesh to serve God.
And it's not going to be pleasing to anyone around you. But I'll tell you what, you know, here's the thing. You know, when cars are built and they're coming down the assembly line, if you were a car and you could speak, at what point would you say you're a car?
Not until you're done.
That's a good question, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah.
At what point would you say you're a car? Now, personally, I wouldn't say I was a car until I was out of the assembly line and driving around. Then I could say I'm a car.
Sure.
But can you imagine the framework sitting on the assembly line, going down the assembly line, and it's sitting there with a big grin on its face saying, I'm a car. I'm a car. Not until everything is together and the engine's in it and you have power to run and to be driven, are you a car.
I think you may be overdriving a little bit, Davey. I'm not sure. At least on the Skype you are, just so you know.
I'll turn my mic down a little bit more.
But, you know, it's interesting, Davey. Would you liken it in the example you were just sharing, that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you enter into the manufacturing facility?
Yeah.
And it's not until you leave that manufacturing facility that you actually are a Christian.
That's a good way of putting it. That would shake some people up.
And this thing of, well, the point about this, and I say this, folks, because the thing about Mark 16, it says these signs shall follow them that believe.
And it went on to say, and it went on to say that signs followed them confirming the word.
That's right.
So, you see, if you're preaching the word, if you're a Christian, and you're out here and you're telling people about Jesus Christ, which if you're a Christian, you're going to be doing. You won't be able to help yourself. My father asked me one day, years and years ago, he said, "Why do you have to go out and preach?" I said, "Dad, if you drank a case of beer and you had a rubber band wrapped around some intimate part of your body, what would happen to you if you didn't take the rubber band off?" He said, "I'd burst." I said, "You got my point. It's just like that. I'd burst if I don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And the thing is, if you go out and you're preaching that gospel of Jesus Christ, God is going to back it up with his signs and wonders. Not for your sake, not for the believer's sake, but for the unbeliever's sake.
Sure. That they may know that indeed the gospel is true.
That's right.
That it's not a word of man, but it's indeed the very word of God.
And if you've gone your whole life as a quote-unquote Christian, and you have never seen the power of God through your life, as described in the word of God, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Somebody stopped the button that got you going through that manufacturing thing.
Yep, you got pulled off into another room. Quality control. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with you.
Yeah. So,
and the thing
keep in mind, I don't care who you are listening right now. We're talking this way not to hurt you or not to put you down or to any of this stuff. We're here to provoke you. The Bible says to provoke one another to love and good works. And I learned a long time ago, sometimes when you provoke people, you make them angry. So if you get a little angry with me, that's all right. I forgive you. But this is the hour of truth. It's not the hour of make you feel good.
Amen. Well, it's interesting. I was actually reading today out of that thing you just said, where it talks about, if you look in Hebrews 10, it says, "And let us consider one another." That is, you're actually thinking about another person. "To provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, I bring that up, folks, because what we have right here is us assembling ourselves together. It is virtually, I understand. But in the spirit, we're one body in him. And we are to consider one another to provoke. And what we're provoking to is to the standard that Christ established in his word for us. And when we do that, we find that we fall short, which is not okay in the sense of we're not justified in falling short. But it's okay in the sense that that's what we need provoking for, is that we continue to strive ever more earnestly to hit the mark that he established. That's what it really is to minister in his stead, is you're doing the same thing he would do in that very same situation.
Correct.
And it's through that that people know that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for them. And it's something that's very contrary to our nature. It's contrary to our upbringing. It's contrary to everything about us naturally. So we have to provoke one another if we're ever going to get there. Because he doesn't just take us by the nape of the neck and make us do it. He gave us a free will. It's the one thing we're all promised, is that we all have a free will.
And now I want you to look at something, Steve, because we're going to take...
Sure.
Last week, we took each one of these things and we broke them down, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I want to just do something like right now.
Sure.
When you go down here, verses 2 through 5, or 2
sure.
through 4, Everything you see here that he's talking about is designed to make the person doing them look better.
Sure.
Whether it be the priest that's forbidden to marry so he looks better to the congregation, or the Seventh-day Adventists that won't eat meats because it makes them closer to God, or whatever.
Anything that's designed to cause you to look better is actually of pride.
Right.
It's of iniquity. Now, there's a big difference, mind you, between that and when you lift Jesus up because you step out in faith in his word. And in so doing, God glorifies you that he might be glorified. Very different thing. Because that's not at all about you. That is all about him. And in it, it doesn't change your sinfulness at all. In fact, it's your sinfulness, notwithstanding that, that gives other sinners hope.
Yep.
Because they can see that the grace of God is with you, because no man could do the miracles that you do except God be with them.
Right.
But they can look at you and see that, oh my God, you are just like me, but I can't do what you're doing. What's the difference?
The difference is I believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God and his power to bring and to do all that he says he could do, even with me.
And that's really the key there, folks. And that's what keeps it from being about us. And you're going to, in that time, you're going to find that you're going to be humbled many, 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 many times.
Even after you've been walking in it for 30 or 35, 40 years.
Amen. And that is, you will actually receive those things with thanksgiving. Because you know that in the end, it's God's love for you that keeps you from getting lifted up in pride.
Right.
And so you don't get hung up about it, and you're able to go forward and just take it in stride and continue forward in the Lord. And that's the one thing, I think people in the church have such a wrong idea of sin. Because everybody's, oh, sin separates you from God. Sin does this, sin does that. Yeah, well, I mean, that's
sin
exactly
does
right.
do, it does all that. And what that's is right. sin? Unbelief and pride.
Amen. And when you, by contrast, stand by faith in him, then what happens is you, your soul, and your spirit dwell in him. And that's where you can then walk in his stead. You put on his mind. You see things through his eyes. You walk in his power. You wear his armor. You do all things in Christ Jesus, not in your strength.
Right.
And the people can then look at your flesh and see your flesh doesn't look any different than their flesh. In fact, a lot of times it looks worse. And those who are looking for a way out will glorify God in you. Because they see that you've got something, and then you can tell them, look, the only difference between you and me is Jesus. And if you want to, I'm pleased to introduce you to him.
Right.
And it's not something that they end up coming and becoming part of the very same family and having access to the very same grace that you do. No difference.
Simple.
And it's beautiful. And you've won a brother.
Amen.
Or a sister.
I like the next. I like it coming on down. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Words of faith, not legalism. Faith.
Not the words of the government.
Right, and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come.
Amen.
This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. What is? What he just said.
Amen.
You got a lot of these beautiful people churches out there today where they're on special diets and they're out doing all this exercise and they're doing this so they can be beautiful. They're dead and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. You got anything to comment on that, or are you ready to move on to the next one?
We can move on to the next one.
All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1.
One thing, Davey, real quick before we do that. Would it be correct to say on the thing about exercise thyself rather unto godliness? Is this, godliness we observe in Christ Jesus. That's what it is to be like God. And when we exercise ourselves unto that, we can only do so by faith. We lift up the standard he set, and that's what we strive for.
Yeah, and here's
all these
how you,
other things we don't care about.
And here's how you do it in the practical sense.
Sure.
The practical sense of exercise in godliness is when you want to fight, shut up. When you want to defend yourself, keep still. When you want to get even with somebody, forgive. And in all things, give glory and honor to the Lord and keep him in praise and worship. That's how you exercise godliness.
Amen. And that takes effort.
Yes, it does. It's sometimes, honest. Sometimes a whole lot of effort. Especially so, if it's coming at you about 10 different directions.
I hear you. And it comes at you. And the one thing I can say in that, in my own experience, is that when you do those things, the blessing that you receive from the Lord, now, it frequently does not happen immediately. It can happen over a period of years at times, and even longer. But the blessing you receive from him as a consequence far exceeds everything you've given up. And that blessing can be as simple as something like that of having a brother who is Christ is formed in fully and who is out serving the Lord as he would have him, and you are a part of the ministry of Christ's love to him by forgiving him, extending grace, and doing all of those things. And him maybe not even being aware of it.
Amen. You know, I think a lot of like Philip, you know, down in South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
We took him out on a revival trail with us. And we got out in Alabama, and during the night, one night, he got scared and ran off. And, you know, my instinct was toss him aside. It's not worth having. And constantly falling back, constantly falling. But now look at him. Look at what God has done to him.
Sure.
Has he still got problems? Yeah. Is he still fighting? Amen. But he's a preacher. He's not trying to preach. He's preaching.
Amen.
And I praise God for that.
And it makes all the other stuff seem like nothing in comparison.
That's right.
So, 2 Timothy 3, do you want me to begin reading from verse 1?
Sure, go ahead.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come.
You know what, I think we did do this last week.
I know.
Uh-huh. So. Well, see how I am? Let's go.
That's it.
All right, Steve, I wasn't wrong, though. I was just mistaken.
I had to say. All right. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Okay, stop.
Yep.
Okay, from such turn away. Go ahead.
Yep, from such turn away.
All right. Now let's stop here a minute.
Sure.
This now also, this We're in 2 Timothy, right. Okay.
Yep.
This is his follow-up to what he told Timothy before. And he's saying that perilous times will come. And, you know, when people fall away from the faith and yet rule the church, you bet it's perilous for your faith.
Amen.
And the reason is, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, if you've got your Bible open, I want you to take a pen or a pencil, and where you see that comma after selves, put a colon. Because a colon should really go there. Because all of these things are what defines someone who is a lover of his own self. So if you have any of these traits, any of them, then you are a lover of your own self. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have none of these traits. I'm not necessarily going to tell you how many I got. But I'm not going to tell you I don't have any. But before you can deal with it, you've got to recognize you have it. And then you've got to want to get rid of them. And you do that by handing them to the Lord and doing the opposite of what that trait wants you to do. If you're covetous, stop being covetous. Stop it.
Give that which is important to you away rather than taking or wanting that which somebody else has.
Amen. If you're a boaster, stop boasting. Proud, pray a lot. That's a hard one. And a blasphemer we hit upon last week was what did you say it was, Steve?
Well, we hit on the fact that a person, for example, who doesn't obey their boss blasphemes the word.
Yeah.
A woman who doesn't obey her husband blasphemes the word.
Right. Disobedient to parents, whether you're a child to your own parents or it's talking of your parent in the Lord. Unthankful. I know people that will go out and the Lord will provide them with a thing and they're not satisfied with it. They got to change it or rebuild it or whatever because they're not thankful with what they've got.
Well, it's also, you know, the thing that strikes me on unthankful is that people who it's all about them, which is what it is to be a lover of your own self, then you're never satisfied. You never have enough. It's kind of like the 10 lepers. Only one of them turned back to say thank you.
Amen. Well, keep going there, Steve.
Sure. Unholy. Okay. Holy means to be separated unto God. Unholy means you're doing your own thing. And it gets manifested in the whole beauty contest thing Richard was talking about earlier with people trying to make that which is cursed pretty and offer that up to God as though he's going to be impressed. Doesn't work that way. That's all about you and what you do. True holiness, which is believing on the gospel of Jesus Christ, recognizes you're putting all of your faith in what Jesus did, not what you do. You know, without natural affection. Even those things like a parent to a child, a husband to his wife, you know, any of these different relationships where people naturally have affection, they don't even have it in those situations. They're pleased to, they find the wife or they find the children inconvenient. And therefore they're happy to put them somewhere else and not have to deal with them themselves.
Right.
You know, truce breakers. You know, truce is where there's a peace that's been made and then somebody breaks the peace. And one of the biggest ones there is the gospel of peace. When somebody becomes a truce breaker is when they break that gospel. They return, for example, unto the law or return, think that they're now made perfect after the flesh, having begun in the spirit. That's what it is to break the truce and you become at war with God once again.
That's the worst kind.
Yep.
Because it makes you a traitor.
Yep. false accusers. You know, everything somebody else's fault, and they'll say or do anything to get out of it themselves. And all you have to do is see two people get who work together on a crime get accused of the crime, and the next thing you know, the other guy was the one who was really the one responsible and did all the bad deeds. You did nothing.
Yeah. Now, I recommend everybody get your Bible out, get a Strong's Concordance, and look up these words. Look them up for yourself. Look at what they mean.
Sure.
Look down here at, of course, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Let's see. Do I want to go to church today, or do I want to go to the races? It's Wednesday night Bible study time, and they expect me at church, but I got this opportunity to go to a music festival or a rock concert. Which one do I want to do? Well, if you want to go to the rock concert, you're a lover of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Amen. Well, and what a big part of it is just think of how many people's lives are driven by what's pleasing to them rather than what's pleasing to God.
Amen.
And you see this in every, what happens is it permeates every aspect of an individual's life. Their brother may need some food or need some help, but they want to go out to dinner. So, you know, they've earned the right to go out to dinner. Their brother, by contrast, I guess he's getting what he deserves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
now, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They have a form of godliness. Oh, they dress right. They may talk right. They
may have gone to the right seminary.
Yeah, they might go to the right seminary. They say all the right words, but do they do the right things? And by denying the power thereof, do they deny the power of Christ to cover all sin? And I find that in a lot of churches. A lot of churches. They're more, and it's not even equal. I've known churches where if you were an axe murderer, and you came up and accepted them as your Lord and Savior, they'd hug you on the neck and make you a deacon. And then somebody would come into church who was divorced, and they wouldn't even let them be a member of the church. Oh, they'd let them come to church and give money, but they wouldn't let them be a member. What kind of garbage is this? God can forgive an axe murderer, but he can't forgive a person who's divorced, whether it was a lawful divorce or not? Now we come to verse 6. And this verse 6 is a good example of verse 7. Because verse 6 talks about a thing that it seems that none of the preachers get right. Go ahead and read it, Steve.
For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts.
Go ahead.
Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
All right. Now check this out. Tell me if you haven't heard this. That these are the kind of guys that go in and lead these women astray and have sex with them.
I know that's how it's commonly preached, and I know that ain't the truth.
That's not what it's talking about. See, if you pay attention to the words, they lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers. That's not singular. Divers lusts. That's many kinds of lusts. And what is lust? The scripture says, Paul says, I would have not known lust except...
The scripture said, thou shalt not covet.
Covet. That's correct. Covetousness is lusts. Now, if you know, for you women out there listening, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say to offend you. But the honest truth is, the natural woman seeks people, men, to deceive them. They're full of divers lust, wanting to be complimented, wanting to be told how pretty they are, wanting to be told how good they look, wanting this, wanting that, wanting, and anybody that'll come along and tell them what they want to hear, they're in love. And you know, in a way, it's a good thing, because I don't know many men that would be outside of Christianity, true Christianity, that would be married if they didn't lie their heads off to the women they got married to and conned and deceived them, and that's how they got married. That's how they got them to love them. And then, after they get married and they see who the husband really is, then the fighting starts.
Well, and it's a thing you see all the time. I mean, if you come up and the woman's got this new blue hairdo and the like, and you're looking at it thinking, oh my God, what did she do? If you're one of these preachers, you go, oh, did you get your hair done? Oh, I like that color on you. And everything, and you just say anything. And in fact, to say the truth, which is, what did they do to your hair and what were you thinking?
Yeah, are you some kind of crazy idiot? You look like a moron.
You know, to say something like that immediately, even though you're the only one who tells them the truth, which everybody else is thinking, like going, blue hot hair, really? I mean, did God make it that way for anybody? I mean, is there something wrong with her, or what is up with that? Everybody else is afraid to tell her the truth. And if you tell her the truth, you're hateful.
Yeah, you're the bad guy.
And the one who, all the people who say, oh, isn't that nice? And the like, all of those are the ones that are the ones who are being loving. So lying is loving when you're a lover of your own self.
Right. Boo hoo hoo, you don't love me.
It's even a form of godliness to them, because you never do anything that ruffles anybody's feathers.
Yeah.
And so therefore you're such a gentle.
You're a peacemaker.
Man. Right, and they have all of these different things, which I'll tell you what, if Jesus acted that way, he would not have died on a cross.
Yeah. Now, he's talking, going back, ever learning. He's talking, going back to these lovers of their own selves.
Sure.
They're ever learning. Today, they're getting more and more degrees, and they're studying more different things, but they still don't know the truth. They're still never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, that it's simply Jesus.
Amen.
Simply Jesus.
And you see it because you see in their life that it's a life that's not been transformed by the power of God. And you'll see it in their preparations, because to be able to preach, they've got to prepare, you know, all week long for some, and some just have to begin on like Friday or Saturday night.
Some don't prepare at all. They just get the little thing passed away around by their denomination, they read it in the pulpit.
That's right. And so the thing is that by contrast, you know, we're supposed to speak, a preacher's supposed to speak the oracles of God, which means that the words coming out of his mouth are supposed to be God's words, not his words. And that you cannot do through much study. That you can only stand in and do by faith in the power of Jesus Christ to search the hearts of those that are present and put in your mouth and mind and heart that which he would have you speak.
Right.
And that requires faith, because, of course, you have no idea what it is you're going to say.
Amen.
And yet you got a bunch of people looking to you.
Well, I remember years and years ago standing in the little church in Chulioda, the little United Christian Church, Chulioda, that we had. And we had, roughly about 300 people in the church. And I got up with all my notes. I had all my notes and everything prepared. And I was getting ready to preach, and the Lord said, tear those up. And it surprised me. And this happened rather quickly, you know. Why, Lord? I mean, how will I know what to say to them? I mean, I've studied this so I can tell them this. He said, I'm not interested in you telling them what you want to tell them or what you know. I want you to tell them what I want to tell them. So I tore them up, and opened my tater trap, and I started preaching. And the next Sunday, and after the service, everybody left. The next Sunday, we only had one person in the church. And he was the one I didn't want. But he was completely delivered of Down syndrome and mongoloidism.
Praise God.
And then God started building the church up again with people he wanted in there. Now, it's coming to that place where we get in line with verse 8.
Sure. You want me to read 8 and 9?
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was.
Now, you see, these, we're talking about men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning, these are men in authority in the church.
Sure.
He's talking about people that are leaders in the church here. And now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, who were they? Who were those guys?
They were Pharaoh's court magicians.
That's right. They're the magicians that belong to the other side. And they withstood Moses, but through God's power, Moses shut them down.
And that their power was not the power of God was manifest for all to see. And that the people would have a choice.
And those of you that are listening to this, whether it be on radio right now, on the Eagle Radio Network, or whether it be on the tape, on the website, God is calling for you to become one of those who can stand before Jannes and Jambres and show through the power of God that their power is not from God.
You know, a good example we have of that, Davey, is Jesus and the rulers of his day. Because they were not of God, and they yet occupied, they were usurpers and occupied those positions of power, but their folly was made manifest unto all men, first by his preaching and the power that he walked in, and then after they put him to death, when he resurrected, which they tried to cover up, it couldn't be covered up because his believers then went and did likewise.
Amen.
And therefore it became, if you were a Jew and you were going to continue to adhere to the law rather than to receive the free gift of salvation according to the promise of God through Moses, all the way down through till John the Baptist, then you would receive Christ Jesus and be saved.
Right.
It was plain as day for those who wanted it.
Well, folks, I think we've given you a little bit to think about and to pray about. And I'm truly hopeful you will think about it and pray about it. So until next Sunday, 12 noon, I'm going to say God bless you so long.
God bless you, folks.
You going to be with me next Sunday, Steve?
I can be with you next Sunday.
You think we ought to make this a permanent deal or what?
Well, we can chat about that. We also talking about this Liberty News Hour thing we can chat about, figure out when to do these things.
Yeah. All right, guys.
God bless you.
God bless. Talk to you all later.